Isaiah 48, and reading from verse 17. Thus saith Jehovah, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Jehovah thy God, who teacheth thee for thy profit, who leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then would thy peace have been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea, and thy seed would have been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. Their name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. And then skipping to verse 22, there is no peace, saith Jehovah, unto the wicked. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 11, page 1160, if you have the same translation. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, reading from verse 27, which is the words of the Lord Jesus. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son but the Father, nor does anyone know the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son may be pleased to reveal him. Come to me, all ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And finally, the Epistle to the Colossians, page 1423, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 18. And he, that's Jesus, he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross. By him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now has it reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable before it. I would like to speak something about peace and rest. Might have been maybe a little bit on my mind as sort of we happen to be on holiday. So those of you who are still working and enjoying the weather and wishing you were outside, I'm very sorry. But we've been enjoying the effect of being on holiday. But I wanted to speak about something a bit better than just the natural peace and rest you might have from the labours that we have around us. I want to speak about something that God offers and speaks of in this Bible, the word of God before me, which is peace and rest to the soul, something that's better than the physical things you might have and think about when you think of peace and rest. Peace and rest to the soul. I wonder if any of you here in this room feel that you're laboring in your spirit, in your soul, inside, that you're striving for something you cannot obtain, something that you're just not quite able to grasp hold of, something that's escaping from you, no matter how hard you try. You just can't quite reach that end to which you're aiming. That's because you're missing out. It says in the Bible that all of us have come short of the glory of God because we're sinners. Come short. We can't quite grasp that perfection of God the Bible speaks of, the holy God. It's impossible. But yet even though we can't achieve this, what's God's mind towards us? It speaks in the prophet Isaiah. This is the prophet speaking to the people of God, the people of Israel. Thus saith Jehovah thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Jehovah thy God, who teacheth thee for thy profit, who leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then would thy peace have been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. God presented a way to his people of old, that they should walk in it and have peace, not just peace around about them from their enemies. It says in the days of David the king and Solomon, they had rest from the enemies and the nations round about them at one time. That was outward peace. But the prophet here speaks about inward peace, the peace of a relationship with God, the peace of doing what God has commanded us to do. That was the words to the people of Israel, that there was commandments, things they had to do, that they might find out something more about God. But it says in this passage here that they couldn't keep those commandments. They failed. They fell short. And it says at the end, there is no peace, saith Jehovah, unto the wicked. Well, in case any one of you feels that I'm different from you, we're all wicked in that same class, myself included. We're all included in this class of the wicked, those who have fallen short of the glory of God. And it's God's mind from the very beginning that man should not be far from him. He sought the presence of man in the garden at the beginning, that we might share in what God has to give us. We might have some understanding of God and relationship with him and life through knowing God. And that was the intention of the prophet Isaiah, that people of Israel were going through a difficult time. They'd fallen away from what they'd once been given. They'd fallen so low and they got so many encouragements from God through the prophets, and yet they still failed. And there's a little bit there which I didn't read about the Chaldeans from Babylon, and you can read about the history of Israel and the children of Israel in the Bible. But in our day, what we read of in Matthew is the words of a man called Jesus. Because God sent not just a prophet, as he sent to the children of Israel. In Matthew, you find in the gospel message that God sent his own son into this world. He'd spoken of his things to his own people through the prophets. And finally, he sent his own son to speak to his own people, to give them the most amazing message. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. What a message that was. How many people at that time understood it? Do you understand it? That Jesus is offering something here in his words which he spoke 2,000 years ago, that he could offer rest to your souls. Eternal peace. Not just peace for a time in this world, maybe a period of rest, maybe a holiday. No, eternal rest. For your souls, your eternal, never dying soul. I don't know that many people understood this message at this time, but this message continues to go out from this moment here, 2,000 years ago, until now. It continues to go out that God is wanting you to find the rest for your souls that he desires you to enjoy. And how do you do that? You come to his son, Jesus, the only son of God. It says here, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son but the Father, nor does anyone know the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son may be pleased to reveal him. Come to Jesus, and he will reveal to you the Father, God as Father towards you, bring you into relationship with the Almighty God, something that was somewhat distant and unknown perhaps to the people of Israel, although they had hints to it. Jesus fully revealed God in himself because he was God and is God. He walked here 2,000 years ago. You think, God walked on this earth. What happened? Why is God not still here? That's because men, in their wickedness, sought to eradicate the Son of God from this earth, because the light that was shining into people's hearts at that time revealed us for who we are, which is far from God and wicked. And men can't stand, we can't stand to be shown up as being wicked. We like to think of ourselves as good, as upright, better than that man down the street. Well, that's not good enough for God. God demands perfection. Jesus was perfect. He came with a purpose because he loved us. What love is that? That God, the Son of God, should enter into this world with a purpose. The Bible says what his purpose is, that we might be saved. Jesus came to die. The one upon whom death had no claim because he was perfect. If you read through the Bible, you find out that the only reason that death exists in this world is because sin came upon mankind from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve sinning in that garden. But there was a man that came into this world upon whom sin had no power. He was untouched by sin. So he didn't deserve to die. And yet men crucified him, executed him. That was my Saviour. And he came here because he loved us and accepted that death. Because in it, in 3 hours of darkness, God, the Almighty God, poured out the awfulness of the hatred of sin and sins and the punishment for it upon Jesus, my Saviour, instead of me. And if you believe in Jesus, it was instead of you too, friend, that you might escape the judgment, because Jesus bore it for you instead of you. And therefore, because he loves you, he accepted that on your behalf, that you might live because of what Jesus has done. And then if you read through the Bible and you come to the Colossians, and the whole first chapter of Colossians is amazing. You find out that Jesus did something amazing in those 3 hours of darkness at Calvary, outside Jerusalem, denied, rejected by people in this world, executed as a criminal, even though they couldn't find a fault or a flaw to accuse him that was worthy of death, in fact, worthy of any punishment at all. You find out that God this Son of God. And it says here, "For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross." What a moment that was. Slightly less than 2,000 years ago, a man was put to death on a cross. A man who was innocent of the crimes of which he was accused, or at least innocent in the sense that there were no crimes of which he could be accused. And he was the one whom God chose to bear the punishment for my sins and your sins too, if you believe on him. Take it all upon himself, wipe it away forever. And the proof of it is in his blood that was shed, but the blood that cleanses from all sins, as it speaks of in Revelation. Having made peace by the blood of his cross. I wonder, if you think about the power of men in this world, Donald Trump, most powerful man in the world, perhaps, maybe, and he can't fix the problem that he currently has with the Iranian nation. He tries by power, by bombing, by the works of his military. This man here, the Son of God, by the power made peace by the blood of his cross. He gave himself that you might have peace. He poured out his blood that you might have peace. You and I might have peace with God himself through what Jesus did. What a message this is, my friends, that it is possible to have peace with God. Peace for all eternity, not just even peace for a time, even peace for a little bit where you feel that maybe you've done some good or something. That's not good enough for God. It speaks of all our righteousnesses as being as filthy rags, because God looks on Jesus, the one who came, who is perfectly righteous in every way and pleased God, and God put upon him the sins of us all. And he took it away completely. It says in the Bible that God will never remember our sins ever again. He chooses to not remember them, and they're put away from us as far as the east is from the west. That's not possible to measure, really. The sins are removed forever, never more to trouble us, as a hymn has it. What a peace you have when you come to Jesus as the Son of God, finding this man that God has given us. It's not a way of life or a set of rules. You come to a person who loves you, who gave himself for you, who loved you so much that he died for you. You maybe think maybe a soldier in battle might die for his pals to save them from a death right then, but they might still die later on because they're still suffering from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus came that you might have that penalty lifted. You might suffer death, but the sting of death has been taken away by Jesus himself. He has the keys of death and of Hades in his hands because he has gone there first into death and has risen from the dead, broken its power. He is the firstborn, it says here, firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. And here it says further down, to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable before it, that is the fullness of the Godhead, before the fullness of the Godhead. In Jesus, if you come in Jesus to God, you find that you can come before God, irreproachable, unblameable, holy. No one can accuse you of anything as you come before God in Jesus. It is not possible because Jesus' blood has washed away every sin. What a position in which to stand. And that's just the beginning of the Christian message, the good news, because you come in the beginning through Jesus himself and you find all these blessings. You find the peace which this world cannot give you. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as this world gives," because Jesus made peace by his blood. No other person has made peace by their own blood. No other person could do that. No other person could aspire to do that. That's what Jesus has done because he loves me and he loves you. I really struggle with the greatness of this message. I cannot present it. The Bible, in the many thousands of words in this Bible, speak about the greatness of God and his love towards us. In the Old Testament, it looks forward to the coming in of Jesus. In the New Testament, it speaks of Jesus has come. Now is the time in which you must obey this word. There is no other way. We sung in our hymn at the beginning, if there was another way for you to be saved, to avoid the coming judgments, the wrath of God, God would have taken it and God would have spared his son from the awfulness that Jesus went through on your behalf. But there is not another way. Therefore, Jesus had to suffer. And therefore, as Jesus has suffered, he is the only person to whom you can come for salvation for all eternity. The peace that this world offers, you might have peace with your neighbours, but that's not good enough. You might have peace in your country with no wars, no strife. It's not good enough. There might even be world peace, although in the evidence in the history of this world, it hasn't yet happened. But you need, that's not enough, because you need peace with God. Peace in your soul with you and God, the Almighty God. That's the peace that's offered here. Come to Jesus. What is he asking from you? What does Jesus want from you? He wants you to believe in him. Believe that he is the Son of God. He is God in himself. He wants you to believe that he died for you and that he has power to save you from your sins. You must repent. What does that mean? Repent. Something I'm very bad at. Most of us probably are. But it means to turn completely from the way that you once were on and turn towards God from whatever it was before. Say that you are a sinner. Acknowledge that fact before God, that you cannot meet his holiness, the righteous requirements that he has for you. That is the gospel message, that in the very beginning, God intended that there should be a way of salvation. There is no peace, saith Jehovah, unto the wicked. There's a very famous hymn. It's number 238 in our book. We might even sing it in a minute. When peace like a river attendeth my way, which you might note from Isaiah 48. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The man who wrote this hymn, in about 1871, Horatio Spafford, his son died. He had a five of a family, I believe. His son died. And that was tragic enough in itself. 2 years later, there was a great fire in Chicago where he lived. He was a very rich man. He had a lot of investment in buildings and property, and that was all wiped out. He lost a lot of money, a lot of things. And then as he was dealing with that, he had planned to go to Europe to help out D.L. Moody in his missionary or his preachings. And so he sent his four daughters and his wife on ahead by ship. And in the crossing of the Atlantic, the ship collided with another ship, and that ship sunk very rapidly, so rapidly that the four daughters were lost. The wife alone was saved. She sent a message to her husband in a day of the telegraph, when maybe a bit like SMS, you were limited to a certain amount of characters, not 140, whatever it is for SMS. But her message was, saved alone. That was her message to her husband. Saved alone. Out the back of that, because this man had peace with God, he could write a hymn to the Almighty God, or to praise God, saying, when peace like a river attendeth my way. How could you write a hymn when you'd lost all your children, all five of your children, and lost all your possessions, more or less? How can you write a hymn that says that you can have peace unless you have a knowledge that your peace with God has been made by the blood of Jesus Christ at that cross? That is the Saviour of whom I preach tonight. The person whom I point you to. I can't point you to myself. I cannot save you. Jesus can save you. Jesus has saved me. Jesus has saved others. He can save you too. He can save you so certainly that you can write to him about the peace that you have with God above all the troubles of this world. What a Saviour. May God bless the word. Amen.